This is a replay of the Wednesday night, December 11th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. I do want to talk about these drones. We'll get there in a moment. Fascinating. Want to get your input on it as well, since none of us know. But I should mention a few things. For one, of course, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club is in full swing. If it's a ho-ho-hum or worse to you, this is the safe harbor, your respite from all things forced frivolity during the season. And there's a lot of that, to say the least. Now, additionally, we're voting on your guilty pleasures. Actually, it's your true confessions. And this always comes after the world's worst hit records, and it's your choice. I've had numerous people over the years tell me, you got to do guilty pleasures this year. All right, so here's the deal. These are the songs that you love but are absolutely horrified to think somebody would know you even liked them. Yeah, your embarrassment's the one saying, I can't believe I like this record. I'm not telling anybody else. Well, just tell us. We won't tell anybody. But we will tabulate them. In fact, Carol Ford, the queen of show prep, is doing that every night. She's tabulating every one of them. You can do it by email. I prefer that you don't. For one thing, I may not see the email. The other thing is the show happens on the radio. And so that's where we'd love to hear from you at 888-876-5593. And if you're saying, well, mine's already been mentioned, perfect. You got to call in and second it because it's a cumulative total. That's the only way to come up with a top 10. The only thing I can almost guarantee you is that there will be at least one of these songs that also was on the world's worst hit list. And of course, that's not surprising because all the world's worst were hits, meaning for every one of us who couldn't stand them, there are tons more who bought them. That's right, spent their hard-earned money. So that's the deal on that. Now, see, I know a lot more about that than I do about this, and that is the mysterious drones flying over New Jersey. And this has been going on now for a couple of weeks, actually. Been hearing about it more so lately. You've got a lot of politicians, local and state in particular, but some federal as well, who are concerned. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the Pentagon spokeswoman, Sabrina, told reporters today that, quote, our initial assessment here is these are not drones or activities coming from a foreign entity or adversary. Now, of course, what that means is, as far as I'm concerned, reading between the lines, is the Pentagon knows damn well they're not a problem, meaning did they originate them? Who knows? And, you know, I think all of us over time have seen things in the sky that we've wondered about. You know, the UFOs, which are now called UAPs, but the UFOs are, of course, unidentified to us, so we don't know. But whatever it is, we've certainly been wondering, and now throngs of people are wondering, and these are not devices that are flown by hobbyists, as far as that goes. Dozens of mysterious nighttime flights started last month, and been spotted in a number of sensitive locations, which is what has caused some concern. The arsenal, where it's a U.S. military research and manufacturing facility, or Donald Trump's golf course in Bedminster, or of course, drones are illegal in New Jersey for both recreational and commercial use, but they're subject to local and federal, FAA regulations on flight restrictions, and the operators have to be FAA certified. And most, if not all, most of the drones spotted in New Jersey were larger than anything used by a hobbyist. And so that has caused a lot of people to wonder. You've got a local assemblywoman, Dawn Fantasia, in New Jersey, who said, these are 6 feet in diameter, and they're sometimes traveling with their lights switched off. And she's from Morris County, so Morristown area. And she's just one of several who met with state police and Homeland Security officials to discuss what is this. And it's not just New Jersey, although that's really the bulk of it, but parts of Pennsylvania, even New York City, and it's increasing. And so the governor is stressing it doesn't appear to threaten public safety. How do you know? The FBI has been investigating, and they're asking residents to send videos. That's not very comforting. But nonetheless, got a couple more Jersey Shore congressmen. And of course, a lot of this is on the Jersey Shore. But U.S. Representative Chris Smith and Jeff Van Drew, both Republican House of Representative members, have been calling on the military to shoot down the drones, which is interesting. And I think maybe a plausible reaction. But according to one of them, a Coast Guard commanding officer briefed him on an incident over the weekend in which a dozen drones followed a motorized Coast Guard lifeboat in close pursuit. And that was in Ocean County in southern Jersey. And the Coast Guard has confirmed that multiple low-altitude aircraft were observed in the vicinity of one of our vessels near there. And on and on, but they're saying it's not an immediate threat and it doesn't disrupt operations. How do you know it's not an immediate threat? And so obviously ain't nobody talking. I guess the most comforting thing would be to say, well, the government knows and they're not telling us. But what if the government doesn't know? What could this be? And you've got others who are asking to take down these drones. Well, yeah, who knows what you'd be taking down? I'm glad to see that state lawmakers at least are saying we're taking it deadly seriously. But what it means in particular, no one knows. And the bottom line was DHS is certainly willing to interact, but they've been largely dismissive of all the reports. And they're not claiming they didn't happen. They just don't seem to be concerned who or what is behind this and where are they coming from? What are they doing? And it sounds like they're clueless. And in fact, some of the lawmakers drew that conclusion, actually. But it raises concerns when there is this much unknown and seemingly there's no great concern about what this might be. Yeah, I know. Pulse bomb, anybody? Yeah, we could go on and on. But curious what you think. All right, so that was on my mind. But again, whatever's on your mind takes precedence over that. And we're going to start it with a vote on the guilty pleasures, those songs that you love but are hesitant to admit publicly. All right, Cindy in Chicago, what is it? Which one floats your boat?
Well, it's real stupid. It's Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Okay, that's not stupid.
I think that song is so funny. I mean, that was my life.
Okay.
Because, like, in Norge in the 70s, like, one-third of the girls didn't graduate. They spent all their time waiting till they were 16 to drop out, sitting in the bathroom smoking.
All right. Well, very good. Brownsville Station, originally, in 1973. And it did very well. Got to number 3 in Canada and did very well on the Hot 100. And yes, indeed. So that was it. And we'll be happy to add that to the list. Thank you. Thank you.
And then anyhow, I keep getting migraines. And I ended up today getting a new cooking stove. I don't know if you remember me talking about it, but this is the second. I woke up at 3 in the morning. And I don't know if someone bumped the knob, but I don't think so. It must have been, the stove must have been on for 2 days.
Wow.
It's real really to turn it, it was like very lightly on the oven.
Is this a gas stove?
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's dangerous. So you got rid of the stove.
Yeah, well, not yet. It's coming. The Home Depot is coming on Saturday. Uh-huh. But the only thing with Home Depot, it's like I'm four car lines from Home Depot, and I'm first on their delivery list, and then they deliver from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So they've done with me about four times where they've come at like 7 a.m. And I keep getting migraines, and I had a bottle.
Well, that's actually dangerous. I mean, many of the things we talk about, I have a lot of fun making fun of you, Cindy. But in this case, when you're talking about this problem, this absolutely can be very serious and downright life-threatening. Now, the gas company should come and disconnect that immediately.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I don't guess so. I believe that strongly. So whatever the numbers are, you have to call, you know, the numbers like when you smell gas, and I realize you may not, but you've got a stove that is turning itself on and giving you headaches, and that's not something I'd fool around with. I wouldn't wait for Saturday's delivery.
Well, what they're going to do on Saturday is just, they are going to, like, take it out, and then they check the hookup.
Well,
and then
I understand all that, but if you're suspecting there's a leak here, and the headache makes me wonder, I'm sure, short of calling 911, the gas company has an emergency phone number, and I would call it.
Yeah.
All right. I would do that. Do that tomorrow.
Sunday, I did smell. I mean, I smelled a faint smell of gas, and then I couldn't.
Well, that's you know, if that was Sunday, you're a fool to be living in it now. Absolutely, there's a 24-hour emergency number for every gas company in America, as far as I know. So whatever your gas provider is, they've got that, and you can either look it up online, or it's probably right on your bill. Call it.
Yeah. People's gas, yeah.
All right,
okay.
Well, then absolutely, I know that People's Gas has one of those 24-hour day numbers. Call them, get your bill. I'd call them tonight. I'd say, hey, this is the deal. I've had a faint smell of gas, and I'm getting headaches, and the stove is turning itself on by itself. What do we do? And then that's where you go.
And I knew I needed to get rid of it.
Yeah, well, right. And what I'm telling you is I don't care that you're going to get rid of it. I care that you're going to act about this quickly. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me know.
Okay.
Let me know
Thank
how it goes.
You.
All right. Good deal.
Okay.
So, yeah, that could, most of the time when Cindy talks to us, we have a whole lot of fun with her predicaments. But this is absolutely not something to take lightly. So, especially when she says she's getting headaches. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. All right, we are going to get to Jim in Richmond with his update, and Ruth and Gurney with her request, but Soraya is in Detroit, so welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you been?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Hey, not what I called about. The story goes, I have a job interview tomorrow.
Oh, yay. All right. So we'll all keep a good thought for Soraya's job interview. Decent job?
Yeah, you always hope for something a little bit better than what you got out of.
Right.
But it's making comparable money to what I was making before. So, and with room to grow. So we'll see how it goes. Not too far from home.
Good.
That kind of thing.
Good.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
How is your dad doing?
The same, pretty much status quo.
All right.
So no update on that front. But, I, as I told John, what I called about was, I'm sure you've read about this New Jersey drone thing that's going on.
Yeah, I was just talking about this. And so, yes, what do you think?
I have my own theories. I'm not sure I want to tell, I don't really care about telling thousands of people, but... I'm leaning more towards it's either ours, as in our technology, as in the United States, or it's nobody that's from here.
Oh, that's really interesting. Now, as far as leaning toward our technology, as I say, the Pentagon spokesperson today kind of would make you think that that's the way they're going, because the quote was,
yeah,
our initial assessment is that these are not drones or activities coming from a foreign entity or adversary. Well, how the hell would they know that unless they're not, you know, they're behind it? So yes,
yeah,
very possible. But I love the thought that maybe they're coming from worlds beyond.
Well, I think I told you previously on your show, I had my own UFO experience when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I've seen one. Not this type, obviously.
Right.
But what I saw, I mean, as a kid, I read about the paranormal. I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah.
But this is a, if it isn't farce, which hopefully it is, you know, I'll sleep better at night knowing it is, if that's what,
right.
It's not great, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
If it's not ours, then, I mean, there's a lot of people who are kind of on my side with it, because if it's not, then what could they really tell us? They couldn't tell us anything, because they'd be mass panic. What are they going to say? You know, hey, by the way, we've been contacted by an outside force.
Right.
Going to happen.
Right.
You know.
And, yeah, I mean, right now, the furthest we've got is the Iranian mothership. You know, we haven't really been hearing too many stories. Actually, believe it or not, a representative actually referred to coming from the Iranian mothership. All right. Well, you know, there's horrible things we could think about here, whether it was China or whatever, or anybody who was mad at us du jour. But the idea that maybe they're coming from worlds beyond, that's
well,
really interesting.
Here. You know, because honestly, there's been research done. You know, George Knapp has done research for decades.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he's, I consider him credible. I do.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
so
being on coast to coast notwithstanding, yes, I think that he has reported quite a lot. The person on News Nation, too, is real good at that. I don't know if you've caught him at all.
Yes, I have. And, you know, what I will say is he released a special not too long ago on Netflix, and they got some compelling footage of things coming out of the ocean.
Right.
In several places. So
right.
To me, what struck me, because I've never listened to a hearing in my life on anything, okay?
Right.
I listened yesterday, which, by the way, was hilarious to hear them go, no, this is your fault. No, we're not doing anything because it's this department's problem. I'm like, this is hilarious. I really should watch these things more often, because
right.
Clearly it's just everybody pointing fingers at each other.
Right.
And watching the New Jersey congressman get frustrated and be like, look, I have to tell my people something.
Yeah.
My constituents are freaking out. You know, and then he said something very interesting. He said that they had a couple dozen follow a Coast Guard boat.
Yes, I was talking about that. Absolutely. And, yeah, the Coast Guard confirmed that, by the way.
So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility to think it's possible.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and it's not just here. That's the weird thing. It's happening all over the planet, and it's happening at similar time frames. So, and actually, I read something about Arizona allegedly has had some sightings.
Well, Arizona always does. You know, it's the way it is with the desert, but over the years, especially. But so I think I'm going to reach out to somebody within Nextdoor to see if Ross Colehart, the guy who does the stuff on News Nation, can weigh in on this. I don't know if he's been doing shows on this or not, but he'd be perfect for it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And I'd love to call him and ask a couple questions, because, again, this isn't like woo-woo. I've researched this stuff for years, decades, actually, at this point in my life. And they've released a lot of things, too. So, I mean, they also, if it was that, they could tell us it was them. Do you know what I mean? What
yes.
are you going to do in that situation unless the presence, it makes itself known?
Okay, apparently I missed it, but on Reality Check, wow, there's an hour show online with Ross on the New Jersey drone mystery. So you can bet when I'm off the air tonight, I'm going to look at that.
Well, that's fantastic, Rally. You know, I it was one of those things where I haven't listened lately, and I wasn't sure if you were talking about this,
yeah.
But Chad and I have been talking about it. And I'm like, oh, I got to call Rally and get her opinion and see what she thinks.
Oh, yeah,
know,
no, I opened with it tonight because it's just unavoidable now. But apparently Ross has done a few shows on this, one of which was just 4 hours ago. So,
awesome.
Yeah, so if you go to YouTube, you probably can see those. All right.
Yeah, I will definitely check it out. And thanks for taking my call, Rally.
Always.
I'll probably be calling you back again soon.
Let me know how it goes with the job interview.
Oh, of course.
Okay, thanks. All right. So 888-876-5593. Boyer is a first-time caller. I'm going to ask Boyer to hold on. Don't go away. Don't be impatient because I got to do this. It's including the news. So when I say don't go away, may take a few minutes here. Okay, seven. And then we'll be back with Boyer. And we've got Jim and we've got Ruth and we've got Joe. And we have room for you too on WGN Radio.
Summer through, I thought I'd found my dream in you. For me, you were the one, but that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. We walked together hand in hand, across miles and miles of golden sand. But now it's over and done, 'cause that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. We had such
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I admit it, that's one of my guilty pleasures. Chad Stewart and Jeremy Clyde, and I'll tell you what, yesterday's gone. It's amazing that that happened at all. In everywhere it was released, it was on little independent labels, and in America, it was a Pittsburgh label. It had been World, and they changed it to World Artists, but it was Lou Guarino and Lenny Martin, just a couple of guys, and they put it out, and of course, it hit. Now, interestingly, it hit in Great Britain, but that is the end of Chad and Jeremy's career in Great Britain. Stateside, they had several others, and in fact, by 65, they were part of the groups that were signed by Columbia Records when they were ousting Mitch Miller and basically saying, oh no, we like rock and roll. Yeah, all that. But nonetheless, why did I play it? Because Chad Stewart would have turned 83 yesterday and sadly died in 2020, pneumonia. And Jeremy Clyde, however, is an actor, and also he performs with Peter Asher from time to time. But rest in peace, Chad Stewart. Who wrote that? If you look at the label, it'll say Stewart Kidd, and you're saying, who's Kidd? Well, it's a woman named Wendy Kidd, and she lent her piano for him to create it. And so he composed it on her piano and said, I'll give you half the songwriting. Not a bad deal. All right, 888-876-5593. Boyer is a first-time caller in Nashville. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh.
Thanks for waiting.
I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yay.
And I'm calling with a music comment, but real quick, I grew up in St. Louis, land of KMOX AM 1120.
Well, interesting you say that, because when I think of St. Louis, of course, I think of KXOK. Yeah, top 40, you know.
And I remember KXOK.
And
I'm 62 years old.
Okay, then the other, WIL. A lot of wonderful
of course,
talent.
Of country
went to,
FM.
Well, country later, but WIL was a big top 40 station, and a lot of guys went through WIL, including Dan Ingram, who later wound up at WABC. WIL was a terrific top 40 station. You might be a little young to remember that, but
I'm sure you remember KC Radio.
Sure, absolutely.
And I listen on my Wi-Fi, I listen to the Big 550, which is KTSR, which is a big talk show with McGraw and all these folks.
Yeah, has been everything, including KUSA. Those call letters would probably fill a couple pages if we wrote them all.
Oh, yeah. And I do have Wi-Fi, but I'm listening on a... I do have a Sea Crane. Tonight I'm listening on a radio called an XH Data.
Huh.
And this is a fantastic, I bought it for $10 in a short way. This thing picks up AM like nothing, and they put out several radios, so.
Yeah, no, they do. I'm aware of the company, and yes, you can see these radios for ridiculously low prices.
The Sea Crane's about $60, and I'm on my second Sea Crane in 20 years.
Not bad.
The first one I would take backpacking to the pool. I just wore it out. The Sea Crane Pocket Radio is, I know you advertise it, but I'm not a shill. I'm just telling you, for your listeners, it's an amazing radio.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to talk about it, in fact, this half hour, because there's a discount this week. Well, there's free shipping this week, so we'll talk about that. But yeah, those XH Data radios, I mean, some of these, you're talking about under $10.
Yeah, this one I got for $10, and I bought it 2 weeks ago.
Is it the D-219?
I No. It's, yeah, it's a D219.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And what you do when you listen to it, you barely touch the dial. Just touch it, barely touch it. And you will, because AM stations are so close from across the country, you may get a Cincinnati station barely touching a Kansas City station. And
right, and in some dial positions, depending on how you turn the radio, you might get two different stations.
Oh, no, you could lay it on your belly or hold it next to your kneecap.
Yeah.
And you...
No, for $10, it's a wonderful deal all the way around. Now, of course, it's not a digital readout. It doesn't have any of the bells and whistles. But if you like slide rule dial tuning, it's a terrific little radio.
I love slide rule.
Yeah.
And what I've read, even though slide rule is still digital, but visually and physically...
Right, That's
I'm just wondering that stuff.
That's true.
I still have a lot of 1940s and 1950s radios, tube radios that have been redone.
Sure.
And I like to listen. I'm from Nashville, so I like to listen to WSM.
Sure.
And I'm sure you could pick that up in Chicago.
Well,
but let me quit yakking so much. Let me get to music.
Okay.
I just discovered you recently.
Oh.
And You are awesome. I love your show. Last night, I listened to you on my terrestrial in my bed till you shut off at, I think, 1 in the morning.
Yep.
But I'm a vinyl player. All I have is vinyl. And I discovered about 4 or 5 years ago, getting into jazz, pop singers, getting Anita O'Day, Dinah Shore. And then I discovered Frances Faye.
Ah.
And Frances Faye blows me away. Now, and you have a voice like Frances, a deep, assertive voice. And you need to play folks out in radio land some Frances Faye. Because Frances Faye is like...
Oh, yeah.
I bought, in the last 2 years, I bought 6 of her albums.
Yeah, she was Danny Kaye's second cousin. And
I'm not kidding,
and she was a big cabaret singer, because we're talking like very early 1900s, like 1912 maybe or something. She was very young, and she's from Brooklyn. Her name was Frances Cohen, and she was doing nightclubs and stuff like that, and then she was in some movies and all that.
Gosh, and your listeners can go on YouTube and listen to her. And I do have about 2 or 3 Danny Kaye soundtrack albums.
Okay.
I had no idea they're related, and that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And she was a songwriter as well. In fact, something that she wrote, All Right, that was recorded by the Andrews Sisters, and Frances Faye wrote that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, you know, cabaret stuff was all like the double entendres. You know, she was in her day, so she was bisexual, and she would hint at that in her act. And, you know, back then it was like, whoa. So there was that in her in-person performances, that was always part of it.
Okay. I just like she's like a ballsy singer. She's fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And these records I've found, a few on Amazon, buy used ones, a little bit more expensive, but go to your local record shop, and I found some that are super clean, and I have a very nice, I got JBLs that, I bought JBL 82 Classics that I bought 3 years ago, they're like $3,000, and I have a NAD receiver. I put about $5,000 into all analog, sort of digital, but I did have old 1970s speakers, but I'm like, I'm done with this. I got some money.
Yeah, right. There you go. But yes, but she was on some major labels. She was on like Capitol and Imperial and Verve. So, her stuff
was Verve.
Yeah, not hard to find if you're really looking for it. I bet you could probably look online or even go to like discos.com, where very often people are selling stuff. In fact, I'm going to do that.
Oh, it's all over. Yeah. You can find them everywhere. It just depends how much you want to spend. And
right.
If you're lazy like I am, you'll spend more.
Absolutely. But yeah, she was quite the thing in her day. Like I say, all the double entendres and all that for the time was pretty interesting. And so we've got...
Are you an Anita O'Day fan?
I certainly like her stuff. You know, my taste is, pretty. I want it to have a backbeat and all that. So,
Okay.
But certainly I like her stuff. So yeah, there's a lot. I'm looking at a lot of these Frances Fays, and yes, most of them you can buy them on not all of them, but a lot of them you can buy on discos, and like you say, a lot of places. Gene Norman, who was a disc jockey at KFWB back in the day in the 50s, he started a record label, GNP Crescendo, and he recorded a lot of her stuff.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, on GNP, Night and Day, and that was the B-side, but there's others as well. So yeah, it's you can find that stuff, and there were a lot of, not as many albums, but probably a dozen, but a lot of singles.
Okay.
You know, and of course, back in the day, you're talking 78, you're talking about shellac, but more recent than that, definitely, you know, polystyrene/vinyl.
Well, here's a little secret I should not share. So, you know, I live in Nashville, and I, you know, lots of people in the music business. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you remember that television show from a few years ago, Nashville.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I liked that.
So T-Bone Burnett was the producer on that?
Yes, he was one of them. That's right.
So a friend of mine is a guy who masters records.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have mastering is. You probably do. The folks
well,
out
I,
there may not
I worked
know.
At, I worked on Music Row on 16th Avenue South at Columbia.
Okay.
And, of course, we had the studios, okay. But we also had mastering there, of course.
So I have some, my buddy gave me some of the shellacs from the TV show Nashville.
Are they are they acetates?
I don't know. He said there's only about 10 of these.
Yeah, no, those are acetates. Yeah, those are acetates.
And
absolutely.
When you smell them, you can almost get high off them.
Well, that's true. And by the way, when you're dealing with them, you better not smoke in that room because, man, are they ever flammable. But yeah, those are acetates. Yeah. And,
so I have like two of those from the mm-hmm. Nashville TV show, and the sound is incredible.
Yeah.
Because they are first cut clean. Not even vinyl.
Yeah, they're acetates, and they would make a few of them. One of them would be for the producer to approve it, and then, of course, it would go to one of the plants like Terre Haute where it would be pressed. But, yeah, those acetates, of course.
Yeah, and we've got that big plant here. I can't remember the name, but they work three shifts producing vinyl. It was down near the ballpark.
That's interesting. I don't know of any Nashville pressing plants from my day. Might have been, but I don't know of any.
Oh, there was one there. I can't remember the name, but it had was in the 50s, and it had its own little hotel room where black singers from, like, Motown would stay because black folks could not stay at the hotels in Nashville. So this printing plant had its own little mini hotel and is still open as a museum.
I'm going to look for that. Because, you know, the other thing is, you mentioned R&B. Nashville had a wonderful R&B history, but you didn't see it on Music Row and you didn't hear about it downtown. But man, was it ever there. And there were some just terrific things that came out of Nashville that were hardcore R&B.
Yeah, if you just Google Nashville vinyl pressing.
The only one I can think of, United, they did pressing.
United. Yeah, United.
Okay. Yeah, United.
So United moved to a bigger press,
and
they're running three shifts. They're running three shifts a day.
No, United was there, and it probably today is the largest, if not the only, pressing plant around. Joe Talbot was involved with that. But yeah, United. And they did all the VJ stuff, actually. But, you know, when I think about it, all the stuff on Music Row was not done at United. A lot of it was Terre Haute, you know, because the CBS Records, Columbia, all that. A lot of it wasn't United.
That didn't surprise me.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do remember United. But yeah.
What year were you on 16th?
I was there 73, 4, 5 in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was still 16th Avenue South. It hadn't yet turned into whatever they call it now.
Oh, now it's apartment buildings.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's some big offices. It's horrible. It's like there's still some publishing places there, but
yeah.
Nashville's sort of been, they've taken a steamroller to it and just put up If you hadn't been here in a while, you would.
Oh, no, like I say, places only exist in time, and my Nashville
exactly.
pretty much ended in the mid-70s. But I had a great time there. It was a wonderful place to live. It was truly Sodom and Gomorrah. The things that went on in Nashville, nowhere else could touch it. It was just amazing.
I still hear the stories.
Oh, yeah, I know so many.
From the old school days.
Yep. I hope you're going to call me again, because I'd love to talk more about this.
And I will have... Yeah, I will run in. You know, I could talk to you about John Prine and Keith Urban and all sorts of things.
No, I'd love it if you call me back. Let's do this again soon.
I'll call you back.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for letting me chit-chat.
Absolutely. Okay, bye.
Have a great evening.
All right. Now, speaking of radios, again, the CC Pocket right now, free U.S. Postal Priority Mail shipping. One of the most popular pocket radios on the market for good reason. Like everything that Bob Crane has had a hand in developing, it has superior reception, AM and FM. It's a digital readout. There's some presets. I think you have 5 presets or something. And it's got a light, and it's got the weather band and the weather alert. So it's got all the bells and whistles. But what it really is just a terrific portable, put it in the palm of your hand, radio that sounds good. You can use it with the earbuds that accompany it, and sounds terrific. But even on the built-in speaker, it's really good. But if you're looking for a little portable with tremendous reception, this is your radio, the CC Pocket, and this week, free U.S. Postal Priority Mail shipping. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and you can read all about the CC Pocket and everything else, because, you know, it's not only great products, it's great information in this catalog. So you'll find something that you're saying, I gotta have it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you can't go online, well, that's all right. Call them. World's best customer service anytime, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone. And if you want, they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog out in the mail so you can read everything at home at your convenience. But I'd say check it out. Like I say, a resource as well as great products. And right now, with free U.S. Postal Priority Mail shipping, that's a good deal on the CC Pocket Radio, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. James, that's Tavares. I hadn't meant to play that. That was an accident. But when I started to hear it, I said, oh, I am playing it. I was going to play some Nashville soul, maybe some Rufus Hunter. So we'll do that after the news. But in the meantime, good that I played it, because Ralph Tavares would have turned 83 yesterday. Died in 2021, just a couple of days before his 80th birthday. And of course, Tavares, one of my all-time favorite groups, best thing ever to come out of Rhode Island, except for maybe Anderson Poncia. But nonetheless, man, before they were Tavares, they were Chubby and the Turnpikes. And they were the Del Rios also, but Chubby and the Turnpikes, oh man, was there good stuff there. All right, I know the inside story. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And let's see, we've got a couple minutes this hour, and then we're going to get to Jim next hour, because I think his update's going to be quite a while, and I'm more than happy to hear it. But Joe in Aurora has the local gas number for Cindy if she hasn't called it, so go for it.
Hey, Raleigh, thanks for taking the call. So that number for the People's Gas Emergency Line 800. Is 1-800-4-4-4-4. 400-4271.
And, you know, I think that's the number everywhere people's has gas hookups because, yeah, 800-400-4271. And so hopefully, Cindy is already on it because I don't want her to wait. But thank you for that.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
You're very welcome.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
Talk to you soon. All right. So, bye. Yes. And Whodunit, by the way, was on Capitol 1972, and Freddie Perren co-wrote it and produced it. All right. So 800-400-4271. Sherry in Naperville, welcome back.
Hi. Let me take you off speaker.
Yes, there's Sherry's ritual.
I did not want to miss this comment, but I cannot believe. I mean, we live in a condo, and John said she thinks Cindy lives in a condo in Chicago.
Yes.
I don't know what area.
Yes, she does. She lives in Chicago.
She is putting herself in danger. She won't live through Christmas, and neither will her neighbors.
Well,
this is a severe problem, and they call me in my condo the building captain. Because everybody comes to me with questions, what about this, what about that? And anybody that smells anything like natural gas, they come to me first. But the first responders that can handle it faster than NIGAS or whoever the is the fire department. They got the sniffers, they got the this and the that. They know how to shut things off on their 1 day on, 2 days off, 24-hour shifts. They know how to fix things because on some of their days off, they usually have a side job of constructing things.
No, and absolutely true, and that's good advice.
She's either going to kill herself and blow herself up and won't be able to be in a coffin for viewing, or she's going to blow up families in her condo.
Well,
building.
Hopefully right now she's calling.
So
and,
dumb.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. All right.
You've ended
the hour. Don't let it, but you've ended the hour, and we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for that. I appreciate it. And yes, Cindy will call us back after she has, in fact, called the appropriate people. But yes, when she told me about the headache on top of it, oh my God. All right, so we'll pick it up next hour. We got Jim. We got Ruth is in Gurnee. And Eduardo is in Tampa. Nurse Kathleen. All right, maybe we'll get more information on gas and all that coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Rufus Hunter, Rufus and Roots, actually, on the label. Sadly, Rufus is no longer with us, but this is the side of Nashville you didn't see on Music Row. This is a Ted Jarrett territory, and anybody who knows about Nashville Soul knows about Ted Jarrett. Label was TJ, among others, and Rufus Hunter was just one of his proteges and just did a wonderful job. Sadly, died about, 6 years ago now, I think, in Nashville. I think he was 69 at the time. But he was just part of a scene that, again, was invisible to mainstream Nashville, but so there. And actually, I've got a book that Ted Jarrett. I don't know if he wrote it or I should look at that sometime. And if it's still in a publication, worth reading, because yeah, there's a whole side of North Nashville you ain't heard unless you're aware. In fact, when I was at Epic, it was O.B. McClinton, who was an African-American artist on the country label. And he said, because he knew what I liked, and he said, ah, man, I got to take you to North Nashville. And boy, he did. And just a wonderful culture and, like I say, invisible to mainstream Nashville. So, all right, now we're going to get to Kathleen as a first-time caller. Don't go away, Kathleen, but Nurse Kathleen, John said, you got to take her first, and so I will on WGN Radio. What's up? Are you there?
Raleigh, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. Very okay. I am really worried about Cindy, and she needs to open her windows right now and call the number for People's Gas. And I do have another number.
Okay.
Okay. That hopefully she's called. It's 866.
Uh-huh.
556-6002. And that's the number on my refrigerator. And she needs to call them right away and tell them that she's had a headache and that she smells gas. And end of sentence. And then they will come right out tonight.
Good.
And she needs to let them come out. Because the worst case scenario is she will be semi-conscious on the floor tomorrow morning.
Right.
Or in her bed with a terrible headache. And and you were absolutely right. You were very serious with her. And I hope she's listening.
Oh, yes.
Very serious. Her body is absorbing carbon monoxide right constantly, and that's so very dangerous. I worked emergency room, very dangerous.
Yeah, and
so
even if she
opened her windows, and it's 3 degrees here.
I don't care. So
not
what?
Three
no,
degrees.
This is absolutely.
I don't either.
Yeah, serious
I don't either.
As a heart
and
attack.
If I
right.
live,
you there?
Yeah, it's a life or death.
It very
right
well
now.
Can be.
Yeah.
And I think,
yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think what has caused Cindy to be lulled into that false sense of security is that she smelled it faintly, and then she didn't smell it, and then the oven turned on, but then it didn't. You know, in other words,
right.
You know. I don't care. You couple that with a headache, and you call now. So, yeah.
And I love that you said that. And I hope she does right now.
Me too.
Now.
I hope she'll call us and tell us.
So there you go.
Thank
okay?
you. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate
oh,
it.
Oh, I do too.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome. And I love the information that you give out also. So I'll hang up and... Cindy, do what Raleigh says and what Nurse Kathleen says. Okay?
Absolutely. And call me again soon. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So now, while we're at it, from Nurse Kathleen to Kathleen, a first-time caller in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I have a question since you're talking about radios. Coincidentally, my Sony Dream Machine went out, okay, after, what, 30
uh-huh.
years? And they don't make it anymore, I found.
Right, right.
Well, anyways, I had gotten this one called Sangene.
Right. They're pretty good radios. What model is it?
I don't have the brochure in front of me here right now, but
okay.
I think it was 114.
Okay.
So the thing is, what happened was you'd almost need to be a Philadelphia lawyer to read the manual, actually.
Mm.
But anyways, I did call, and they helped me set it up, but the guy wasn't too helpful, actually.
Oh.
But anyways, now what's happened is the radio works, but the display doesn't work.
Oh, I hate that.
So I can't see. You know, I want to wake up to the music, and I
right.
want to have a choice of changing them. So I don't know. Do you have any advice? When I looked online, they were saying, oh, the Dream Machine is gone, but there's another one. A Sony 1CFC1, I think. It's just like a little square box.
Yeah, I like.
But
that.
I don't know if you know if you could
I'd look at the Sea Crane products, not only because Bob Crane is just the world's best when it came to radio reception, but also because of their customer service. You got a problem with them, they don't brush you off. You get the answers you need, period. So
they have like, you know, like a clock radio similar to the Dream Machine?
Well, they've got a ton of radios now, like the CC Radio 2. I think it's a 2E. Let me go online and see. It's the thing I've got. I should know this. It's the thing I've got by my bedside. John's got the CC Radio 3, which has Bluetooth if you wanted it. But
I just want, you know, to be able to say, like, at this one that I have now, I wake up to WGN.
Right.
But if I want to put on 99.5 or whatever, I have it all programmed in. So
sure.
I don't, you know, but I don't think this one for $29 is going to let you do all that.
You know, you'd be surprised. Some will, some won't. But the price is sometimes not as important as, you know, what you're really getting. But, yeah, the CC radios are not, they're not cheap, but they're worth it. Yeah, I've got the CC Radio 2E, which is AM, FM, and it's the weather band, and it's got a digital readout and a clock and a timer and an alarm and, you know, all that stuff. And it also has presets. So you can...
I would look it up as CC Radio 2E, like Edward.
Well, just go to ccradio.com.
Okay.
And when you get there, you will see it. You know, in fact, if you just, I'm going there now and look at AM, FM radios and then just click on AM, FM radios and they're going to show you a bunch of them.
I think now, you know, most people like for waking up, they're just using their phones.
Yeah.
The alarm. But, this Sangene, are they considered a good radio as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the Sangene stuff is absolutely fine. But yeah, John just handed me my radio, and yes, clock, alarm, timer, all the things, bells, whistles,
okay,
AM, FM, and mine's an older, so it's got some things that yours wouldn't. Yours have other features, but a ham radio.
I was
radio
just surprised that after 4 years, and it's only a one-year warranty.
Right. Well, I would definitely look at the Sea Crane company just because I really like their stuff. And then if you have any questions, call them because their customer service is terrific. And they are in the business of helping you. And the nice thing about it, too, is let's say you get something like the CC Radio 2E and you just say, hey, I don't want it. It didn't work for me. They take it back. You know, you've got the ability to return them, so you're not on the hook forever. And it's neat to look at their radios because there are so many different features in all of them.
Okay, well, that's great. It was just ironic that you were talking about that, and I thought, maybe I can call in and ask her about this issue. Because, I mean, I've talked to the guy there twice, and he's like, well, it must just be a glitch. So then he had me unplug it, because if I unplug it, it comes back on, okay?
Right.
And then we had to do the factory thing, and then that was a real pain because everything had to be reset. So I'm kind of familiar with the, you know, with the way that it works, but the manual was useless.
Yeah. Well, with those Sangenes, very often on those displays, it's the cable interface, the ribbon cable to the display panel that dies, and there's very little.
You mean that ribbon thing that hangs off of it?
No. You wouldn't see this. Bottom line is that there's a number of people who have had the problem. So, you know, if they're saying there's no repair, there probably isn't.
Well, there is, but the guy said, well, I've been here for 10 years and I never heard of somebody losing the display.
Oh, no. That person's lying through his teeth.
He was kind of, well, whatever. But anyway, so he said, you know, you'd have to mail it to them and it would be $45 to have it repaired.
Well, what if they couldn't repair it?
Well, I don't know, because it's only a one-year warranty. So I thought, you know what, I'm probably better off just getting one here at ABT, our electronics in Glenview. But I called them, too, and I said, well, it's only 4 years old. I had my Dream Machine for 24 years.
You know, stuff happens, believe me. And whenever you're dealing with circuit boards and things like that, you'd be surprised how quickly things go. But, yeah, I'm thinking it's that cable. Could it be fixed? Yeah. Is it worth it? I don't know. But check out the Sea Crane catalog and see if there's something you really like.
Oh, I will, Raleigh. So thank you very much. I enjoy your show, by the way.
Thanks for calling, and do it again.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we've got Jim is up next from Richmond. Then we got Joe and Aurora. Well, no, we talked to Joe. I'm sorry. We've got Ruth and Gurney, who's got a request. Don't go away, Ruth. And Eduardo in Tampa. And let's see. Oh, the national ID. That sounds a little bit too political for this show. But we'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Yo!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Jesse Hill's signature song, Oof Oop A Doo, which I had on yesterday's rundown, and Carol said, you know, you put it on the rundown, but you didn't play it. All right, so I have now, and yes, quintessential New Orleans. 888-876-5593. Jim is in Richmond. Let's hear the update, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And I want Cindy to go out and get a high-quality carbon monoxide detector.
Good idea.
And put it in their kitchen, because there's all different kinds. There's some that might even pick up the gas smell.
Good idea.
Yeah, and she should go out. If they're delivering her stove, she should just call Home Depot and tell them to bring that with it.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Right. And I just wanted to let Cindy know, and I hope she's okay.
Me too.
And number two is, when we had those Chinese balloons going across the country, had fighter jets going out. They had Congress was all into it. Why isn't it shot down and all that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we have these multiple drones going all over, and they're not acting the same way. And they don't know where they're coming from. And I want to know one thing. They're radio controlled, aren't they?
Yeah, loosely so, yes.
Yeah. Can't they jam the signals?
Oh, it's not that easy.
Or?
As far as that goes. It is transmitting RF, but and a lot of it is 2.4 or 5.8, but I would think one of the problems is, you know, you don't want to jam 2.4. Everybody within the area is going to lose Wi-Fi, you know, as far as that goes.
Oh, okay.
You know, see, there a lot of them, not all of them, a lot are 2.4 and also 5.8, but you see some that are 1.2 gigs or 1.3 mm-hmm. 3 gigs. I've seen that. So I would assume that it would depend on what that frequency was being used for, because you would be locking it out of a wide area.
Right. You might take out everybody's garage door opener and everything.
Well, it wouldn't be that, but you know, a lot of right. things that you're not expecting, right. And right. Sure. And so, you know, it can be a number of different things, but it is concerning. Now, like I say, though, I found it interesting today that the Pentagon said that their initial assessment was that they were not drones or activities coming from a foreign entity or adversary. See, I don't understand how you could assess that unless it's coming from them.
Because unless they know where it's coming
from. Right, exactly. So I don't know. I love I love Soroya's thought that maybe it's from aliens. We'll have to have Ross Colehart on, see if he'll join us, the News Nation guy who has so much great information about that kind of stuff. It'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. And also, don't they show up on radar?
Yeah, well, they should. Now that depends. Yeah, that depends on a number of variables, but they should.
Yeah, and then when they leave after they've been there and they leave, can't they trace where they go? That's what I find funny. And then one congressman saying that it's an Iranian ship off.
I know. I love that. Right. Yeah. Off of Ocean County. Yeah. Right. Made me think of the Russians are coming. Yeah. Right. As far as that goes.
That was a funny movie. But the whole thing is can't they trace it to see if it's going back out that way?
Well, no. See, like I say, radar, the way that works is it emits radio waves and pulses, and then it hits an object, it bounces back to the radar antenna. The radar antenna amplifies the signal to find out what the object is and how fast it's moving. And so when you have a large cross-section, but when you're looking at this miniature, I mean, 6 feet is pretty small. You know, one of the problems is that they can't always tell drones apart from birds. It is very possible that they can be confused. So it doesn't, drone detection radar doesn't automatically classify whether it's a bird or a drone or all that. So it's not as simple as you would think as far as that goes. And of course, the other thing is drones are controlled remotely, which means they can fly evasively or erratically, or in conditions that otherwise you wouldn't, a piloted, vehicle, plane, whatever wouldn't do. So it makes them very hard to detect. Now what I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but, John says I better do the news. Hang on. Don't go away. Of course, I won't be doing the news, but WGN will right now on WGN Radio. James, that's Jermaine Jackson, who turned 70 years old today, born in 1954 in Gary. Yes, and I picked 1982 on Motown. Let me tickle your fancy. Let me excite your soul. All right, so we're talking to Jim in Richmond, and sorry about that, Jim. The news is over, and we're back.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you that it was like 25 degrees today, and now we're in the Arctic zone.
Yes.
It's going to be 2 degrees in the morning with 20 below wind chills.
Oh, sure it will, yeah. But the good news is when it gets to two below zero, it usually isn't snowing. You know, the humidity goes away. And to me, as strange as it sounds, that feels better than when it's 40 and just absolutely 100% humidity. There's nothing colder than that to me.
Right, and it's blow. the wind's blowing right now at 20 miles an hour west.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is, you know, not for man or beast, obviously. You're clearly not going to go outside.
And then Saturday, it'll be 39 degrees and rain.
Right. And see, that's the thing. And, you know, that is going to feel just horribly cold. It'll just cut through you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you that I got so frustrated last night when we talked with the app from WGN. And
oh, yeah.
There were seven commercials after I got off the
phone. And they were all from Iowa, right?
Right. So now I spent the morning before my brother came to take me to the doctor playing with my CC pocket radio.
Uh-huh.
And I found two spots in the house where I get perfect reception.
On WGN. That's great.
Right. And so that's what I'm listening to you tonight. Okay. I didn't even go to the app.
You know I think I'm going to write. I do know somebody in the facility at GN who should know. And I think when I get off the air, I'm going to send him an email and see if he has an idea why it's being misgeolocated.
Right. And like I said, at quarter to midnight, they play the same commercial three in a row. And they did it again
last
night.
Well, yeah, that kind of stuff's going to happen. But yeah, right. I want to know.
And then we went to the doctor today, and it was amazing. We got in and out in less than 40 minutes.
Yay! Now, that's the good news. Hopefully, we have some good news in what the doctor said.
Well, he didn't say much. He just said, we're going to try the Eylea HD, and I already knew that.
Right.
And I made sure that they contacted Good Days, you know, when they go to do the billing. And so I don't have to pay that $600. And then he gave me the shot. Oh, he looked at the eyes, and the swelling was down, even though my vision was horrible this morning. I couldn't see hardly anything.
I'm so sorry.
And then it was all blurry. And he goes, I said, jokingly, I said, I'm like the comic guy on Simpson. Is, I said, worst eyesight ever.
Yeah.
and he laughed. And he says, well, we can't do much about the blurriness. And then he gave me the shot. Now, tonight, it's clear. It's clear, but didn't improve the vision any.
Right.
But it's clearer than it was this morning.
Good.
But the injection site of, you know, where he shot it in, that normally doesn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's irritating the heck out of me tonight.
Oh, and I'm so sorry.
I'm going to wear a patch
okay.
over my eye
so
I don't rub it in my sleep.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because the last thing you want to do is scratch a cornea on top of it. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry.
I said to them before they gave me the shot, I said, I've seen the commercials. I said, the side effects are worse than what I'm having right now.
Right.
The technician goes, yeah, we know that. And I says, I hope I don't get a detached retina because that's one of the things. And he goes, well, you're at the right place if you do.
Oh, great. Oh, that's really comforting. Yes. Oh,
so,
man.
I want to thank all your listeners, and I'm worried about Cindy.
Yes.
And I hope she calls back tonight.
Me too. All right.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, Jim. Thank you. And thank you for waiting.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, good.
I got nothing to do.
All right. Well, great. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Except try to stay warm.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That is, do all you can to stay warm. I heartily approve that. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And that, I don't know if she's still awake, but Ruth called a little after 10 in Gurnee. Are you still with us, Ruth?
Hi.
You are.
Good evening, motivational, Raleigh James, motivational speaker of the house. In my father's mansion are many houses. And there's room for you, too. And a great James 1.17 would make a great license plate. There's only two pertinent words for Cindy. Get out.
Yes.
Get out of the house and make your call.
Yes.
And do all the other things people suggested. Get
yes.
out.
Yes.
Get out the street, make the call, and do the other things that are going to follow into the solution of everything's okay.
Good advice.
And not to worry about it. I'm sure that is a suitable solution. So back to, I have a request
yes.
for the songs.
Okay.
And I have three, and then I have four for the
guilty pleasures.
Pleasures, but
yeah.
one in particular is not a fake news cringe. It's a real cringe. So if we get to that, or I go
right.
and do it.
So tell me.
We don't want to yeah, take up time for
right.
other callers.
Tell me what the one you want to request is.
Okay, I have three for requests.
Oh, okay, three requests.
First,
all right, what are they?
The first request is for, and I wanted to do this a long time, but I didn't, and I'd loved when you've done other nationality songs, that you surprise us all the time. So this is a request for Power of Love in German. The next request is, I've ordered two license plates, but not state issues, very reasonably priced out of a catalog, and you can put whatever phrase you want on it. And
what are
so
the songs?
My phrase is going to be, you for me on one license plate, and me for you on the second license plate. And then my third song is Don't You Know. Now, that's the request. Now we go to the...
Now, wait, I need to talk about Don't You Know, because that can be a lot of different people. So
whatever you want, it's your favorite, whatever, whoever it is. The other thing is the other song is La Vie en Rose that goes with the license plates. And the wonderful things about the comments that come from the listeners is when you learn something new, and it's sort of fascinating and interesting. And so I know some people get private license plates made, and then they get license plates with staying state issued, but something involving a song is really phenomenal,
right.
and you do the license plate, you for me and me for you. I mean,
okay.
one for you and one for
So what is your guilty pleasure?
Okay, the first one would be Patsy Cline, Crazy.
Okay.
For a spooky little crazy girl like
well,
me.
Let me ask you, why would you be embarrassed about liking Crazy? It's a great record.
Because Botox Phase said that my better half called me crazy.
All right.
And I want to know, what in the world did I do?
All right.
That's why I have,
all right.
that's
so
why I have that request.
So what else?
The next one is If I Loved You. And the next one is An Affair to Remember. And
what are you doing?
Oh, by the way, one other thing.
No.
A pickle that yodels in a catalog. I tried to order it $16.99, and they were out of it a month ago. Isn't that interesting? A pickle that yodels.
What's interesting is that they're out of stock. That's what's interesting.
No.
That there are actually people who ordered the yodeling pickle.
Alice.
All right.
Alice. Yeah, Gleason saying, how sweet it is. Yeah, okay,
all right, thanks.
Last one, and
oh,
this is
one.
The one that brings the cringe.
Okay.
A Lion Spoke to Me.
No, just give me the title of the song. Just give me the title song.
Oh, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Okay, very good.
They guarded me.
All right, got them all.
I get lions in the House of the Seven Stars. People guard me.
Okay.
And so police officers and
all
lions
right.
guard me.
All
but
right.
that song,
Very
The
good.
Lion Sleeps Tonight,
uh-huh.
that means that I cringed over it. But it's all right.
right.
It's okay.
All right.
So that's it for now.
All right. Talk to you later.
All
Thanks.
Right.
Appreciate
well,
it. All right.
Thank
so,
you. Bye-bye.
888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Mike is a first-time caller, so let's stop what we're doing right now to talk to Mike. He's going to tell us about his guilty pleasure. So, Mike, welcome to WGN Radio.
All right. Are you getting a bad feedback, or am I coming through clearly okay?
No, you're coming through fine.
All right. So my guilty pleasure, believe it or not, is The DeFranco family is the love beat, is the heartbeat.
Yeah, heartbeat is a love beat. Okay. All right.
That's it. I mean, you know, that I would not admit in public, but since this is the list you're building,
right,
that's my contribution.
No, it's a wonderful contribution, and no one will know it was you. So your secret is safe with us. And yes, Heartbeat is a Love Beat is a fine song to be very embarrassed about liking. So thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, thanks.
Good to meet Mike. Hopefully he'll call us back again. 888-876-5593. Yeah, Heartbeat is a Love Beat. That's about the time that I'm sick of being on the radio. All right, so yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. All right, so we'll talk to Eduardo in Tampa and Jeff in Beloit and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
I don't ask much of you, or just a little your time. Oh, come on, tell the truth. You know I ain't lying. Just love me. Just love me. Every now and then. I'm eating my coffee and drinking my toast. Of all the things that ever happened to me, oh, this is the most. Just love me. Just love me. Every now and then. Every now and then.
She done you wrong.
She done me wrong. But I forgives her for everything when she's wrapped up in my arms. I don't ask much of you, or just a little your time. Oh, come on, tell the truth. You know I ain't lying. Just love me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Benny Spellman. Yes, I know. You'd say normally just a denizen of New Orleans, but not actually. He was from Pensacola, born and died there. But Alan Toussaint wrote most of the stuff he did, Lipstick Traces, Fortune Teller, and all that. This as well, Every Now and Then, which is a wonderful song from 1962 on Minute, of course. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And JT in Aurora has a request and a vote. I want to hear this. So what do you got for me, JT?
The guilty request. Scott McKenzie, San Francisco.
Oh, God, yes. Wear flowers in your hair. God help us.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I had a request, too. Now I've got a mind black. Oh, Poison Ivy.
Oh, okay. The Coasters.
Coasters, that's right. There you go.
Absolutely. Yes, Poison Ivy, and you know what they wrote that about, right?
No.
Well, look, Calamine lotion wouldn't be the cure. Probably Quell shampoo would have helped. All right. Thanks for calling.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Okay, you're
absolutely
welcome.
Yes, so obviously it was a case of the cramps. That's why Quell. All right, so 888, probably that's what they still use. I don't know. 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up, Eduardo?
Hey, Riley. First, I got to tell you, how you doing with the, you're not catching any of that fire smoke from Malibu over there?
Oh, no, we're so far from that. But, you know, we were talking just today, though. It's been very dry here, exceptionally dry. And this is normally not a time when we think about fire danger, but it's dry enough that you would. But yes, no, Malibu's a mess.
Okay. Well, I know Jimmy was talking about temperatures. It's 47 right now, but it's you know, it's December. It's expected.
Right. Oh, absolutely, it's expected. And the problem, though, is, you know, you're in the heart of humidity, and so 47 there can feel just really dank, really cold. You know, it kind of chills you to the bone when it's 47 in Tampa.
Yeah.
So you're not being a wuss if you say, oh, man, this is really cold, this is horrible, and all that. No, that it's because of the humidity factor in it that just makes it unbearable.
Yeah, I mean, I wear my blue jean jackets during the day, yeah. And then at like midday, I take them off because it gets warm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, just on this, you know, another mystery, before I get to this national ID thing, another mystery, because you guys were talking about the drones, is this fire in the records room in City Hall. That could almost be like a George Norrard Bell mystery right there.
You just don't know.
Why a fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I think they're saying it was like an electrical fire that started that, so.
Yep. I think so, too.
Yeah. So, but you never know. I mean, there could be some nefarious motive behind that.
You're right. Chicago City Hall. You never know what's buried in that. Absolutely. So, and a relatively small fire, all things considered. But, yeah, it does make you wonder.
Yeah. Well, I heard that on this national ID that apparently if you, and I checked my driver's license because there has to be like, I think, a star in the corner, which it does have a mine. But apparently if they don't have something like that, then you wouldn't be able to use it like if you were flying out.
So well, you would have to, I guess, use your passport. No, right now the I see in terms of that, yes. But for regular travel, the enhanced driver's license will let you do that for sure.
Okay.
But I think it's good if everyone has a passport. I've had one my entire life. I can't imagine not. And I don't go anywhere at this point in my life. But regardless, you know, the idea of national ID numbers have been around forever, and you know. Just like when Social Security came into being, part of the problem in terms of why it was accepted was they were in the Depression, and the Depression caused people to otherwise, I don't want to say take leave of my senses because that's going to be political, but they were willing to embrace it. But still, people were so afraid in the Depression that their Social Security number would be used as a national identification number that the original Social Security cards all had written on it, not for identification purposes. And, but as you well know, it absolutely is used as a de facto national identification number as it is, you know, so we got one as far as that goes. I don't know what we'd need further than that.
Okay. Are you coming in late tomorrow?
No, full show tomorrow. Then Monday is really late. I only have an hour of a show. Then I think Tuesday and Thursday, I'm an hour late.
Okay. All right, Riley, I'll let you get because you're almost coming up to the news here. Maybe I'll call tomorrow.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yep.
So 888-876-5593-8888. Riley, Jeff is in Beloit, and we'll get to him right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I smell a rat, baby. I smell a rat, baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Yes, early Lieber and Stoller. That's Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, I Smell a Rat. It was on Peacock when was that? I don't remember. Early 50s. And that's all you're going to get out of me right now. But Johnny Otis Band was behind her on that. And a fine session all the way around. So, yes. All right. And there's a reason I played that, actually, because Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton, would have turned 98 today. Born in 1926 in Ayrton, Alabama, died in 1984 in Los Angeles, just 57 years old. What was wrong? Liver and heart. So, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Jeff in Beloit, what's up tonight?
Well, I have something to add to your drone story. To set this up, I put a motor on a bicycle and I was tooling around Beloit. I noticed this one house had an unusual solar panel. And I stopped in to talk to this guy because he was working on something. It looked like a frame on a pivotal deal, a wooden thing that he had set up. And I said, "What are you doing?" Yeah, I pulled in and I talked to him. "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, come here." And he goes, he puts a coin down and he melts the coin in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
From the ambient sunlight. Well, anyway, this guy is a genius. He showed me his other inventions and so forth. And then I see one of his, he has a drone. And he says, "Well, take a look at this." And he shows me on his phone the aerial footage of, he went over Beckman Mill. I know you're familiar with Rockford, but Beckman Mill is in Beloit. Mm-hmm. It's an old mill. And he was showing me for miles what he was going. I said, "That's not a usual drone," because I guess the range is like 2-3 miles on a drone.
Right.
And he said, no. He goes, "I use a satellite." And the guy's a genius. He's got like servers at his house for computers and so forth, as I say. And so he says, "No, I use a satellite." And I go, "How the heck do you do that?" And he just knew. You know, so he accessed the satellite and then had the feedback come to like a GPS through his phone, so he knew where it was at. And the interesting thing is that he said an AWAC flew over after about an hour.
Really?
Are you familiar with an AWAC?
Yeah. So someone was on to him.
Right. Well, the thing is, he didn't use the usual means, and it's not like him to use. He built the drone himself. Right. Access the drive and all the controls and the programming to access the satellite. So what I'm saying is that if he was a single guy, a hobbyist. Now, the only thing around there, I mean, you're talking Beckman Mill. I mean, the peer of technology 100 years ago, a milling flower. So, and I thought about it, and I go, later on, I go, the only thing around there is a VOR, which is probably 10 miles north of there. And so I'm thinking, I don't think the VOR picked him up. I think when he accessed the satellite, a couple ears popped up, and they said, "What is this?"
Yeah, well, absolutely, it's airborne surveillance, that's for sure. But you're saying, like, an E3 Sentry flew over his house?
Yeah, that's it. But he didn't. You know, an E3 is a 707 modified.
Yeah, right. No, I know. I think now I thought they were using 767s more recently. But regardless, yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, it could have been a Piper Cub with a big, you know...
Well, yeah, big, that's funny, yeah. Shine. Yeah, right. But
that would still be an AWAC. But,
yeah, right.
He said one flew over, and he only flew that thing once. But he didn't say he was ever contacted, or because I don't think he had the, you have to have an FAA license to fly it as well.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting all the way around. You wouldn't think that, and for people who don't know, it's like an early warning system that we've had. NATO is big on them. We've had them for years and years and decades and all that. And but you don't normally think about it, you know, swooping down and kind of buzzing somebody's house who's just messing around.
All right. I forget where else I was going to go with this now, is that the VOR, are they still, they use them for navigation. I mean, when I flew, I would always, I could, you know, dial in WGN and AM radio station, and then you could get a vector from that.
Mm-hmm.
But you would always rely on the VOR. Now, I don't know if they still do that because of the advent of the GPS.
I don't know, but I would assume they do. And of course, you know, it's very high frequency. It's VHF, and it's you know, I would think that they would still use this, but I don't know. That's a good question. Radio beacons. I bet you they do. I bet you there's still beacons doing that. Let's see.
Theory too. I was thinking they did this in World War II in England in the Battle of Britain. They didn't bend the beam of the radar,
right.
So they knew where they were at. But what they did is they moved the source. So what I was going to say, when you have an emergency broadcast system, it's possible that they could use that VOR change all the frequencies to that particular station because it would throw off the navigation of 20 years ago.
Yeah, I do. And I was just looking at this, and apparently costs count. They are decommissioning a number of EOR systems. There's still some left, but the bottom line, of course, is they're very pricey to maintain. And so, you know, trying to phase them out makes a lot of economic sense. And so I think that you are seeing that. And of course, I don't know that it's the best thing to do, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're
the other thing too is I've seen drones in Beloit, and they go in pairs, and I believe they're police surveillance. Usually you'll see one up high, and then you'll see one close to the ground taking pictures of whatever they're really interested in. And I know this because the apartment below me had a lot of various things going on, and that's what they were looking at. There was one up about 200 feet, about three blocks away, and the other one was coming across my neighbor's porch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I just read they're decommissioning one-third of all the VORs, but the good news is it's done because many of them are old and redundant, of course, expensive and all that, but they don't need to be there. And so especially on the eastern seaboard, there's a glut of them. So theoretically, what they're saying is once a third of them are decommissioned, the eastern seaboard will look more like the western U.S. has for decades. So they're not entirely doing away with it, thank God, because, you know, you also have GPS jamming and also other issues that are, you know, problematic. So yes, that's what it is, just the redundancy.
Well, that's the drones that are going out there right now. I'm sure they probably flew an AWAC over there. They know all the frequencies. They're probably just monitoring them just to see what they're doing, you know, if it's not a U.S. source. And just like that spy balloon that flew over, they let it go. They just let it, and they were watching it.
Yeah, but was that a great idea? You know, I mean, that's still debated to this day. You know, that's Chinese. And theoretically, we just let it go across the country and gather data from coast to coast. And, you know, we didn't demolish it.
Yeah, but far sighting, and if you look, and maybe they're trying to get the Chinese signals to see if there was a spy satellite, special frequency, special communications, and that would probably, you know, by letting it go, you could collect all that information.
Yeah, it's a trade-off. They're collecting too, of course, but you know, and I don't even want to get into that because it becomes very political, and they yell and scream all to this day about that. But personally, I love the theory that it's alien. I mean, that's much more fun. It's unlikely, unlikely, but yeah, a lot more fun. So I don't know.
I think that's little fish in the frying pan. Oh, I think yeah. If they were that smart, they would be. They're doing bigger things than that.
Well, you know, one of the things about drones is, you know, is there can be a real flurry of them. You can see hundreds at the same time. And that's a fascinating thing, too, because that confounds a lot of things that would otherwise track them.
Yeah. Over Wisconsin, everybody's got a hunting rifle. I can't imagine a lot of them flying over.
Oh, great. That's all we need. Yeah. Citizens are now shooting at the drones. Just what we need. All right. Hopefully not.
Let's see. What else are we going to say about the VORs? I think, you know, like an emergency broadcasting system, I always thought that if people were flying over, they could move it to all the frequencies to a different VOR,
right,
throwing off navigation of a plane.
Right.
But they're probably using GPSs by now, you know.
Well, as far as emergency broadcast, this is a kind of a sore subject, actually. A lot of it is online through FEMA, the CAP system. And the problem is, of course, that in a real emergency, you think you're going to have the internet. But what's happened is in order for, you know, EAS, as it is now, what was EBS, EAS to work, every county has to be up to date with what they're doing. And sadly, in most counties, there's no one on staff who has any idea about anything remotely RF. And so you've got, even in some of the state associations, you know, it'd make you blush if you saw what they're putting out there. So I think until they get to a point where they can actually, and I know they have tests every week and all that and supposed to do something, but the reality is the counties that I deal with, no, there's absolutely nobody there who could do anything. And I think that's kind of an undiscussed issue. And I know they're always discussing EAS because right now one of the big manufacturers of the boxes that trigger the alerts and all that, Sage, Endec, they've announced they're not making it anymore. They're done. And right. So there's been, you know, that's renewed the discussion of what else can we do. But I still say until you're going to have people who understand RF, you're going to be vulnerable. And, of course, the direction is against that right now. But, yes, I think, you know, in wartime and stuff, you absolutely use things like you're discussing with VOR. 100% you do. So why wouldn't you? And, of course, you know, you also go back to Conelrad, you know, where everything becomes 1240 or 640 and all of that. So we've gotten away from that decades ago. But anyway, it's interesting to think about. But I do think if we're talking EAS, that very few counties have somebody on staff who has any idea what RF even means.
The other thing that was interesting at this guy's, he had all kinds of inventions in his garage, and I was just amazed. I mean, I had a couple of things. I knew what they were when I looked at them, but I go, that's pretty amazing that you have that. But one thing he did do, and he showed me that it worked, is he had some old CDs, and he made them into solar cells. Have you seen that done?
No.
They actually have it on the internet. I looked it up before I called you, and because I didn't know if it was he's a one man band or if he, you know, there's other people that know how to do this. But you can take a CD, yeah, and then you can wire it up, and he wired it up to a motor, put it in the sun, and that motor was just humming.
Interesting.
Off the CD.
Well. Yeah.
Better cadmium. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
Better use for a CD than, you know, I'm not a big fan of CDs because depending on who manufactured them, you get a lot of CD rot and they become very useless. So if you could convert them to free energy, hey, sounds good to me.
I guess they're less efficient than the, I forget what the other ones are made of right now. But
I'm looking while you're speaking. Yes, you know, turn your CD DVD into a solar panel. And, oh, great. Yeah, I don't think it'll be a DIY project for me. But, you know, the problem that others say is, no, this is not gonna work in terms of in reality. So I don't know.
Yeah, but you're making millions of dollars off of solar cells, and you could get these other ones for free.
Yeah,
I think it has some merit, you know.
Oh, if it works, absolutely. If it works, yeah. So interesting. I haven't read much about it, but you're right. There's a wealth of information online about this.
You know, the other one more quick thing, and I'll let you go here, is that he also made a laser out of a DVD player. There's two components in there that you can make a laser.
Yeah.
Out of, and it's you know, not very expensive, and it works well. But the only thing is, you have to have glasses on because you'll go blind.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm looking at this while we speak. So of course that's a bad thing because I should be talking to everybody rather than doing this. But my initial overview is that a lot of people are claiming it and nobody's actually doing it. That the stuff you're seeing online is not real. So if you saw somebody do it, good for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Raleigh. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah. Popular Mechanics had an article on this a while ago. Can you really make a solar panel using old CDs? And the answer, frankly, was no. We'll just put it at that. And so, but I guess it's fun to wonder about as well. And so they're saying now the YouTube stuff is faked. I don't know. And you know, if you're interested, I'm sure if you'd read the data behind it, you'd see why they're saying no. That homemade photovoltaic solar panels out of CDs is not likely. All right. Well, it's a nice thought, though. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Laura and Willowbrook and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
give me time. Just one touch of your fingertips.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Linda Jones. And yeah, man, I'll tell you what. She was just tremendous. And what a short life she had, too. Died at 27, a diabetic coma. But man, while she was with us, that was on Loma. In fact, it was the biggest single Loma ever had. And there were so many different things I could play by her, but I thought, man, that's the signature record. It is just so good. And she would have turned 80 this weekend, born in Newark in 1944. Sadly, died at 27. Like I say, she was napping at home between a couple of shows at the Apollo Theater, slipped into a diabetic coma, and that's all she wrote. So, all right, we're going to get back to Laura and Willowbrook and you two coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
You are my dream come true. You are like a breath of spring, warm like the summer rain. Beautiful
woman,
every breath I take, every move I make, I'm reaching out.
Reaching out, reaching out.
Just a little bit closer. Ooh, a little closer, baby. Closer.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Charlie Rich, 1977, that was recorded, and Billy Sherrill and Nora Wilson wrote it along with Steve Davis, and I was thinking to myself, Steve Davis, whatever happened to him? And sadly, I found out, died, and on... I guess early in 2023. Well, no, day after Christmas, 2022. But he was a great little writer when he was a kid. He was like 17 years old. He wrote "Take Time to Know Her," which of course became a huge hit for Percy Sledge. But he was definitely a denizen of Music Row. And when I was there, and I knew him, he was Steve Davis. But later he became Stephen Allen Davis, his full name, and recorded other stuff and wrote a number of things as well, including co-wrote "Beautiful Woman," a fine song indeed. All right. So why did I play that? Because Charlie Rich would have turned 92 years old this weekend. Yeah, born in 1932 in Colt in Arkansas, and sadly died in his sleep in 1995. He was on tour, Hammond, Louisiana. It was a pulmonary embolism, just 62 years old. But yeah, a lot of hard living and drinking in that story. So 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. How's it going, Laura?
I'm good and cold as many people are.
Oh, yes.
But since you were talking with somebody about weather earlier, I had a question because you have a wide range of knowledge and hearing about things. So to let you know, Willowbrook, Illinois, we've got the regular temperature of 12 degrees with our lovely wind chill. Of course, winter we expect it. It's minus 6.
Okay.
Now, earlier today, we had like winds of like 30 miles an hour, and you couldn't even hardly stand up, or everything was like blowing away. So my question is, why is it when you don't want the wind in the winter, you get it and you're freezing to death? When you really need the wind in the summer, you don't get anything and you're dying of heat. What's going on with that?
Yeah, all right. So you want to know weather patterns, why there's more wind in winter.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right, well, you know, I mean, all I can tell you is the jet stream changes positions, and that will lead to more windy days on the Earth's surface in winter. So that's part of it. And so, you know, the way wind works is it goes from high pressure to low pressure, and it blows that way. And pressure differences are caused by temperature contrasts from one mass to another. And so winter creates just the absolute right atmosphere. But really, you're looking at the jet stream. Now, if there's somebody who knows more than that, I'd like to know about it. But the jet stream mixes with the lower level air. And that that causes you know, surface winds, and and again the location of the jet stream, which you can see online. You can the jet tends to follow the sun throughout the year, so in spring and summer the sun angle increases, so the jet stream follows it, you know, poleward to the pole, and because it's sitting closer to the North Pole, surface winds are not as frequent in summer. But the sun angle is decreasing when you get to fall and then in winter. And so what you wind up is you have the jet stream going right over the United States for colder months. And it's interesting, you know, I used to have to fly all the time, which I gave up many decades ago now. But when I would always love it on those rare times where I caught the jet stream. And I remember once going from L.A. to Dulles in Washington, D.C. The trip was under 3 hours. Just amazing. And I remember when I got off, I asked the crew that was oncoming, I asked the pilot, how long do you expect this to take? About 6 hours? And he said, yeah, yeah, maybe more. So, yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to go in the other direction. So, so sure, the jet stream, I think, is probably the biggest single part of it. But, again, I'm no meteorologist, and maybe someone who is can fill us in better.
Yeah, and I guess in August, in the hot summer, I'm going to be appreciating this from now. It's like, okay, can't we have that now?
Right. No, isn't that the truth? That's right. The wind would be lovely, wouldn't it? It doesn't work like that generally, but that's the deal. But, you know, is there any perfect weather? Yeah, for about 2 days, you know.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It's either
don't
too cold.
It's somewhere
too,
else, because right. It'll be worse.
Right. It's too cold. It's too hot. There's too much moisture. There's not enough moisture. On and on the story goes. So, you know,
enjoy
it while you got it and stay in when you don't.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And,
oh, by the way, real quick, I just wanted to let you know we have a indoor shopping mall that allows animals. So today I took my dog Cotton for a walk in the mall for a half hour.
Oh,
so
great.
So that's the way to get them exercise without freezing to death.
Well, that's terrific, and I'm sure that Cotton was greeted warmly by many of the shoppers.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Raleigh, for your information.
All right.
You're
thanks
always
for
good.
Calling. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So, yeah, there may be more to it, but that's what I know, which is not a lot. But let's see. We have, let's see if I can screw this up six ways to Sunday and not lose James. There he is. James on the south side. All right. What's going on, James?
Well, no, it's not much. Just trying to keep warm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You like everybody else. I understand that.
There was one story we didn't get to yesterday, and let's see. Then it was one I came across. I think I sent, but I don't think we covered about the millionaire, the tech billionaire who basically figured he had this could reverse time, regime, at which he took his own personal trash with him, even when he went to other countries.
Yeah, this is he's in the dictionary. Picture of his face is you know there under. I was just losing my train of thought in terms of what I was thinking, but I believe the concept would be more money than brains.
Yeah, because here's the problem. I mean, sure, his company, but the moment that he falls ill or dies, I mean, hey. Okay, his company's pretty much dead.
Yeah, $2 million a year to live forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not want to live forever. So he's, of course, I believe there's a life after this, so that helps my decision. But in any event, this is a guy, there's a picture of him. And you know, when I first saw that picture, by the way, I thought it was an AI person. I didn't think it was a human with like a heart. Because he doesn't, he doesn't look real to me. Brian Johnson. I'm not sure this person breathes, but he says spending $2 million a year to reverse age and live longer. All right, so he's known for his 1,950 calorie diet. How the hell would you know how many calories you're eating? But, you know, I guess somebody does, because the daily meal is of nutty pudding, walnuts, macadamia nuts, pomegranate juice, berries, and cinnamon.
Okay. It sounds kind of nutty if you chose
it. Oh, God, you didn't. You just didn't. All right, so, yeah, and apparently he's taking his routine to India, where he's written a book, Don't Die. Now, what's interesting to me, of course, India, they believe so strongly in reincarnation. How many of these people want to live forever here? They're ready to go. But regardless, he's going to India, and the reason they were pointing that out is because he will not be indulging in any of the local food. And so he said, a lot of people ask me what I do about food when I travel. This is why I brought with me to India every calorie that I will eat for 6 days. Okay, then. Okay, then. And so his first rule is that food is guilty until proven innocent. And so he's talking about contamination, I do believe. But I'm relating to this right about now because I'm on that horrible elemental diet where I don't get to eat food. And so I can't imagine doing this voluntarily. And, you know, he wants to live forever? No, he'll just seem like it. You know, like, but $2 million. Now, did it say anywhere in this article, because I didn't read the whole thing, what cost $2 million? Because I didn't see that.
No, I didn't see it either. And supposedly, I mean, the food things that he's cost like an arm and a leg, like $84,
well,
$94.
Right, $94 for the nutty pudding and $86 for the longevity protein and the full blueprint snack or stack contains products with a range of vitamins for $343. Well, I don't care. You're still not going to come up to $2 million, I don't think.
No, and it's and really, to me, it sounds like something like, are you part mad scientist or?
Well, no, I go back to, let's reference more money than brains. All right, so now, speaking of foods, this is sort of good news, but you wonder why it's taken so long. The FDA hasn't, they may, and I love that, they didn't do it yet, but they may finally ban artificial red dye from beverages, candy, and other foods. It only took them about 70 years to come up with this. And obviously, there's absolutely no argument that red dye number 40 is problematic in a lot of ways. So I guess they're now have Congress urging them to ban it, and they're looking at doing that. I think there's a lot of food makers who won't be pleased, but the rest of us probably will like it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's see now. I can think of a few foods, especially a few snack guys that are going to be extremely unhappy. They got makers of Doritos, especially their nacho ones and all those other
ones. And look at all that's in that. But in addition to Red Dye 40, if they called me, which the FDA is not going to be doing that, but if they did, I would say, hey, how about a couple of the yellows? Get rid of Yellow 5 and Yellow 6, because they both are just terrible. And the only function is to make the food look pretty.
Yeah, and here's the thing that, okay, you can use Doritos as firewood.
That's nice. That might be the only purpose I'd use them for. All right. Firewood.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, you know, Coca-Cola can, in fact, dissolve nails. Well, if you leave anything in it long enough, if you leave anything in stomach acid long enough, you'll dissolve it. But so I don't worry too much about it, but you always hear that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just simply, here's the thing, if you think about it long enough, you won't want to eat anything.
Well, that's right. That's absolutely right. And you don't want to live forever anyway, so go for it. You like those Doritos, you have those Doritos.
Yeah, it's a, just a little bit won't take you out fast or anything. Well, if you eat a whole lot, yeah.
So when we left you last night, just as the show was ending, we talked about another assassination attempt, this one on Elton John.
Yeah, and when I read the story through, I'm like thinking, you know, okay, there's too many people who have too much time that they want to become famous for being infamous.
Well, yes, and so this one apparently was fans feared that Elton John was assassinated on stage by a fan in Greensboro, North Carolina, after he was seen with blood on his face during a performance. No. So his bandmates feared that he had been shot, but he hadn't been.
Yeah, and you know, it's just the times we live in, unfortunately.
And by the way, what happened is he wasn't shot, but somebody hurled a metal pipe at him, and you know, it smashed against his temple, drew some blood, and all that kind of stuff. But no, he wasn't shot, and just some yahoo. But you know, years ago when I was first promoting country records, and this probably goes back to the '60s, I remember going on a tour with one of them and going to these joints, for lack of a better term, throughout the South. And this was the first time I had seen stages that in front of the stage was a chain link fence. And of course, now I understand it's probably been featured in movies and everything else, so probably everybody knows. But at the time, I didn't know what this was. What's the deal? Well, it's for the performer's safety. I said, what are they worried about? And projectiles. Well, what do you mean? Well, the fans get drunk and they throw things at them. What? And so sure enough, they did. And got to see it up close and personal. And there was an awful lot about that. So I guess this is somewhat in line with this. Maybe everybody needs to be behind a chain link fence now.
It's unfortunate, but it's almost as if somebody said, "Oh, okay, where's Yahoo in the place?" Yeah. There they are.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Continue. I'm sorry.
Because we're running out of time, unfortunately, so that's why I'm moving this along. But you also were kind enough to send me 7 harmful foods that are linked to anxiety, Alzheimer's, and cognitive decline. Just what I need. So, of course, I read the list and I don't remember it. But number 1 is diet soda. All right. Number 2 is sports drinks. Number 3 is alcohol. 4, frozen dinners. All right. Maybe this is explaining Howard Hughes with his love for those Swanson TV turkey dinners.
Yeah.
Number five is refined white bread. And I don't mean to cast aspersion at the makers of Wonder Bread. I'm sure that it's a fine product, but I've never, ever been inclined to think this is something that's edible. There were many things I thought you could do with it, but eating refined white bread was not something that went together in my mind. We then have packaged snacks at number 6. Oh, no, there go the chips and the cookies and the crackers. And all the preservatives. And then number 7, a surprising choice, is instant noodles.
I said, now, the bane of all, the basic substance of every college student at late night.
Well, sure, and everybody just starting out and all that, you know, you'd go get the 19 cents pack of what it used to be. Sure, it's much more now, but it was 19 cents and you got the, like, mac and cheese or whatever. But the instant noodles or the ramen noodles, It's fascinating to me and very sad to me that when you really look at these lists, what we're saying is unless you spend a lot of money on food, you're going to be poisoned. You know, the stuff that's cheap and packaged and all that, the stuff in that is, you know, potentially deadly. Now, by the way, if you like the noodles, eat the noodles. I don't care. But they have it pretty much number 1 with a bullet, with a concoction of unhealthy ingredients. Oh, yum.
Yeah, and really, here's the thing. Most people don't have a lot of money to spend on food.
Well, on anything. No, I know. And, well, we talk about it's a serious subject, so probably shouldn't put it on this show. But the bottom line is I don't know how people are existing. And what I do see is when they're a grocery store, they're using credit cards. And it used to be you'd use credit cards for a luxury if you needed to, you know, pay in time. Now you need it to stay alive. And
that's right.
It's tough. I don't have the answer. If I did have the answer, I wouldn't be talking to you guys on the radio. I'd be making millions and millions of dollars. But I don't know what the answer is. I just know that, oh my God, we are not in a good place. So that's why we don't talk about it on this show. But now I find out that basically I love these potato chips and things like that. Well, I guess I'm not going to live long enough, which is, again, is fine with me. So a wonderful group of stories as always, and always good to hear from you.
Okay, you have a great weekend. Okay,
all right.
And John sounds good. Okay.
Now next week, I'll tell you what we're going to tackle: the article on daylight savings time going away. So we'll leave it there, and we'll pick that one up. Apparently, Elon Musk is sparking the debate. So on that note, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay,
thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Not
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
One minute you love me and then you walk. There's more going on than you will admit. 'Cause just as we got it to work, you quit. I'm caught in a fog. Can't you make it clear? The truth won't be worse than the things I fear. It's a mystery to me. I haven't a clue if somebody else has a part.
Journalism students will recognize Who, What, When, Where, Why, but that was Rupert Holmes in 1978, and 45 years ago this weekend, he was on Midnight Special. Now, that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. It made the show a pleasure to do. How about doing it tomorrow night, 21 hours from now? I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.